You know what?
Hi.
Hi.
Let's start there.
You know what? Hello.
Well, let's just start there because that's a pleasantry and that's just how you start.
With pleasantries.
Isn't that how we started?
Absolutely.
In the beginning, I'm sure we started with a hello.
It was a pleasant interaction.
Right. And now that we've gotten that out of the way, Project Tart Operation, how we doing?
We're doing pretty good. You know what? I've got some bad news.
What?
We've slipped off.
Well, what does that mean?
It means that everybody needs to like, subscribe, rate, review.
Tell us one of your reviews.
Okay, so here is an amazing review from Catherine Blanford on December 24th, 2017. She gave us 5 stars. She says, I book road trips to see friends I don't even like so I can spend 6 hours with Matt and Bowen on the lonely road. Well, we would love to join any of you on a road trip for 6 hours to friends that you don't like because we get to spend time.
And also,
with you.
I hope none of Catherine's friends are listening to this because she might not like those friends.
But you know what? She's brave enough to say that she doesn't like them.
Anyway, who needs friends? You have us. Las Culturistas. Rate us, review us, subscribe to us. Baby, come on Apple Podcasts.
And let's get us back on that chart, honey.
Now let's get into the show.
Look, man.
There.
Oh, I see.
Wow.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Cool. Wow. Yeah. Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling. I feel the thickness in the air of the culture that is surrounding us.
Wow. See, you took a deep ass breath before we went in here.
Yeah.
And I think it's because the air is very thick with culture. And I was like, is he having trouble breathing? No, it's merely because the air is so thick with culture.
The air is viscous, darling.
Yeah, I mean, think about this. We've had, in the last 48, a presidential candidate emerge, honey.
Okay, we'll talk about this.
I mean, I think we will talk about it, because you know what? The nation is talking about
Yes, and what an interesting, like, what?
Fascinating.
We'll talk about this. We'll talk about this.
Oh, we're going to talk about
it. The fact that this is even, that we're even talking about it.
And we haven't even said yet the name. But here's the deal. There's been a lot of culture, and we are in the thick of award season right now, honey.
Absolutely.
I actually watched a screener today. I'm excited to talk about it. I did my SAG Awards voting today.
Oh, she's a SAG girl.
She's a SAG girl now.
And this one, I did not pay my initiation fees.
Famously,
in time.
Yes. But... And you know who else didn't pay her initiation
no,
fees?
No, she paid her initiation fees, but she's not paid her dues yet.
Yet to pay the dues.
Yes.
But you know what? I can't think of someone who's paid more dues in their real
Absolutely.
Life. This person has climbed the mountain of culture and now sits atop the peak.
Yes.
And looks down.
And she feels the thunder because she is the thunder.
And I can't imagine
on the mountaintop.
Can't imagine how thick the air is up there at the top of the mountain. Famously, you know, being from Denver.
Right, but you know, as you
With
altitude, as you go up, the air gets thinner.
It gets thinner.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. And so it gets thicker as you go down more into the swamps of Florida.
But it gets thinner on the mountaintop where our guest resides because she just won't accept all this just drivel.
No.
You know? Yeah.
That's not something she accepts.
That we now, deal with at sea level.
Let's talk about, but obviously her credit is not accepting the drivel, but let's talk about the real credits that you can see, hear, watch, feel.
Oh, let's go through the
and
credits.
And enjoy, honey. All right. So first I want to say, to see this person live in the flesh, will you be there? Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I didn't know she's in New York currently. Couples Therapy is this Saturday at 7 p.m. at Nerd Melt in Los Angeles.
Yes.
So all the L.A. culturistas head out. It's this Saturday the 13th at 7 p.m. at Nerd Melt. Couples Therapy.
Co-hosted with her Jubu fiancé.
Jubu,
Andy
yes.
Andy Beckerman.
Who I just met. Lovely.
Oh, the best.
A writer on the incredible show NBC Great News.
Mm.
Great News, yes. And of
Tracy.
Course. Yes, Ms. Wigfield.
Ms. Wigfield.
creates. Now, in order to see this person do her thing truly like no one else, you got to check out the Comedy Central Half Hour, which you can see on ComedyCentral.com.
On the app. On,
the app.
On demand. If you get a little bit of Amazon Video, iTunes.
I actually have that. I set up Amazon, not a Roku, Amazon Fire.
An Amazon Fire Stick.
So I'm going to watch it on that. But actually, rule number 6 of culture
is
never forget the app.
And so let's memorialize that by saying together,
never
forget
the app.
And speaking of the app, I paid $3 for the HD episode of her half hour so that maybe she sees,
yes!
maybe she saw
30 cents.
30 or 6, I was going to say 60 cents. Oh my God, you guys, let's
Is
waste no more
works?
Time. I have no idea. Let's waste no more time and please welcome our guest with great fanfare,
Naomi Ekperigin.
This is us.
This is lit.
Ah! This is 2018.
Oh, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I don't like a lot of podcasts.
Don't do this.
My fiance hosts too, and I like him.
Snap impression.
Not even because you have to.
Snap impression. Beginnings. Bless him. That's his plug. Bye bye, baby. I'm done with you for the rest of the episode. You guys, you know, we throw around the phrase "give life."
What it is for
someone to birth you, what it is for someone to be an emotional placenta.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
And yet, Las Culturistas, I mean, ding dong.
Yes, you opened the door.
You said it. I felt chills.
Wow.
I showed up to the door with a fresh baked pie.
Yes, you did. The pie is cooling.
That is how I feel about this. I am too happy.
Yeah, honestly, we are so happy. And we've been trying to get you for quite some time.
We've been getting specific tweets and little social media granules of saying, Naomi.
The fans will tweet and they'll say,
I thought it was a singular fan. No, I'll take multiple. Imagine
if there was one fan that just had all these accounts.
Handles.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're out there.
They're out there.
But specifically recently, we got someone hitting us up and saying, you must get Naomi on because she is culture. Which is, that's big to live up to.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Is culture. You know, they've only said that about one other person.
And who is that?
That's the next president.
Okay. It's Oprah.
Okay,
so let's check in. We've had quite the cycle with this. Everybody, just the collective...
Everyone's weighing in.
The tenor of this is, first, everyone just, you know, of course, loving, beautifully accepted, appreciated the speech.
Yeah.
And then it sort of grew out and extrapolated into presidential.
We so lonely. We were just like, Mama, please.
Yes.
We're starved for it. That's what it is.
Starved for elocution.
Yes.
you know what I'm saying?
That's what it is.
For that gravitas.
Yeah.
I was like, is it that we want him to be president, or are we just shocked that a leadership type got up there and gave you something good at all? That's not a take away from it, but you know.
Right. Well, no, my thing, I will say this, I am, for you listeners who don't know, sometimes, you know, my voiceover agent says I can do both. I am black.
The voiceover agent.
The good thing is you could do both.
Oh,
your urban and general market.
Oh, general market.
Thank you. But I will say this. I don't believe Oprah should be president.
No.
Mm-hmm. I believe we need to get Oprah back on TV. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Sunday nights at 5. Okay, we need to gather around her like a hearth.
Yeah.
And hear some common sense.
Yes, I agree. Just to bring this back to podcasts, which you mentioned, and which this is currently on this program, I think, you know what, the Super Soul Sundays, it's not enough. I need the visual, all the sensory things of Oprah just coming at me.
I need her on ABC.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, we need her again.
We need her back where everyone can watch her. Because the only thing I think it might be decent about Oprah as president is because I feel like she's the only person I'm 50-year-old white ladies will get behind.
That's what I'm saying. And I genuinely think that, I don't know, but maybe if Oprah is on every day in the 2016 election, maybe shit turns out different.
Right.
Maybe if these white women have some of a certain age, like in the middle of the country, have someone telling them something besides like someone they trust, maybe something happens. I don't know.
She got them to read.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, she got a lot of people to read. So I feel like anything is possible, but it doesn't mean she should be president.
No.
Well, no, it's that thing, and I'm sure you guys have read this similar sort of statement that's like, the second she, like, makes a tough policy decision, she's no longer Oprah as we know her.
Right, no, right. She's gone.
She's gone. It's something else. That Oprah has gone away. Like we've exercised that person.
Well, yeah. I think those same women who we say love Oprah too, the moment she tried to run for president, they'd be like, who that black bitch thinks he is?
You know
what I'm saying? They'll turn.
That would be totally revealing.
Absolutely.
Honestly, I read a tweet like I've been doing because there's been a lot to read tweets about. But somebody said, I like Oprah. I don't know if we should give her the right to kill people from the sky. I was like, that pretty much sums it up.
That's fair. That's
but we gave it to Crazy McCrazy.
That's true. I mean, we didn't.
We didn't, but you know.
Yeah,
but
he does have the power. The thing is, I think it's like when you start thinking in terms of like, well, if this person can win, what can we put together to get them with back? It's like, you can't think in terms of reactions like that. You have to think in terms of who's going to be a good president. Right. And there are options. I know it seems like there's going to be a dearth a little bit on the Democratic side, or there's not that one figure really who's uniting everyone just yet. Mm-hmm. I don't think that means Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah.
Right. I think it is, though, I think what people felt
was
what it is to have somebody talk and be electrified.
Yes.
And I think you just haven't had that in a little while. And by a little while, a year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah, 100%.
Where you hear somebody talk and you're like, I'm going to go exercise.
Yeah.
Honey, I hear Oprah talk. I'm like, I'm going to do a brisk walk. I'm going to cut out that bread, even though I love it.
Yeah.
She gets me wanting to be better, right? And I don't think we've heard that. And that's why.
Since Go High.
Exactly. Well, exactly.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm trying to raise my kid.
Yeah.
Leave me alone for a hot minute.
And then it's so funny. What happened the last time we saw a quality speech at all? Must be president.
Right. Put her on. Yeah.
We are starved. You are right. We are lonely and starved.
We're so lonely and starved.
We are starved, and we demand certain things from certain people just for doing something that, like, has a cursory just impact on, like, this huge office.
And also, this is not to say that she can't have a political impact or a political future.
Well,
if
she already
that's what
does, I think, in a lot of
she
ways.
Does.
She already has a political impact. Well, especially, I think, more so when she had her show on, right?
Yeah,
which is why I'm like, I want her back on television. I want to be able to see her every day at 4 or I'll take once a week. Because I do think whether she wants it or not, she can move a needle.
Yeah.
Should she choose to?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And it just feels like, what else we got? But it doesn't mean you are meant to lead the free world. And I also think, though, she don't necessarily want to.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Stedman got enough he dealing with.
Yeah.
I said at the Golden Globes, I was like, so good to see Stedman out.
It was great
to
see
him out.
So great to see him out.
It's rare. It's very rare.
Also, were you, let's talk about the Globes in general for a second. When the show started and there were two empty ass seats next to Oprah, I was like, who the fuck is not there? And who was it? Ms. Streisand herself.
Yes.
Showing up late to the ultimate gig.
Showing up late, and God, what was she presented the final
director
award. Oh, she didn't present director. She presented best picture.
Was it best
drama.
Picture drama? All right,
director,
she had
Natalie
something
Portman.
To say about best director.
Yes.
Which, the Natalie Portman thing was seismic.
I was so surprised, because I normally think of her as so basique.
Yes.
And so when she said something, I was like, okay, Natalie. I was like, it took me a minute. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To take her in, and I was like, I'm into you.
She is sharp. Harvard. She's politically minded. She has a lot of opinions. I think that she kind of, like, withdraws from the whole scene every 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And then when she does come back, she is the biggest movie star in the world. Like, when Black Swan came out and she was winning her Oscar, there was nobody bigger.
Yeah. Right.
And then you saw her go away.
Right.
And now it's like, she's back, arrived. She got on Instagram.
She's on Insta. I'll follow.
She's on Insta now.
Are there baby pics?
There are no baby pics. It's all times up right now.
Okay.
It's all times up right now. Yeah. And
she's here to do the work.
Yes. Yeah. And you're getting that. Like, you're seeing her very present. I know she's going to be appearing in the media in the next few weeks. That's a hint.
You heard it here first.
Natalie Portman will make a public appearance.
Between the lines, she's got a big movie coming out. What do celebrities do when they have big movies coming out?
SNL.
Right, but I didn't say it.
Okay.
To see her kind of like,
wait, hold on, sorry, what's her movie?
It's that movie with the, where they're all in the woods. And she's like, have you seen the trailer for this movie?
No.
Natalie Portman and all the women. I don't remember. I don't know who else is in it. I don't want to guess because I'll be so wrong. But it's basically they pay like a team of scientists and they go to this like kind of like, I don't know if it's another planet or like a part of the world that's like fucked up. But they try to like, I don't know. They're wearing cargo shorts and they're in the
cargo
woods.
Shorts.
You
gotta
just search Nicole.
Natalie.
Search Natalie Portman.
Fucked up
new
planet.
New film, fucked up planet, cargo shorts.
Natalie Portman, cargo shorts, planet.
There's a picture. When we take a short break, we'll get to the picture. But there's a picture of her like looking in a white crocodile's mouth.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. But she's got this big movie coming out. And so it just so happens that, you know, I think she's very passionate about this cause. And she's back out there doing it on Instagram, shaking it up at the Golden Globes.
Ooh. I will say, have always loved her.
Have always loved.
Wow,
always
you knew. Loved, you knew.
But also understood the Besique, you know. Like, yeah. Accepted all of it. The whole, every contour of Natalie Portman.
See, I don't know. I've never thought of her as Besique. I've always thought of her as classique.
Classique.
Okay, yeah. Interesting, interesting. You know what? Sometimes I see a white woman and I shut down.
Right.
And, yes. You know, that's on me. You know, listeners, you have to admit your faults. You have to admit your faults.
Oh,
and
there
goodness.
Are those incredibly Basique Miss Dior ads that she's in. Yes. Like, anyone who's in, like, a perfume ad, it's a little bit of an eye roll. Like, yes, even it doesn't matter how fierce they are. Like, Charlize Theron in those Dior ads. Like, yeah. It doesn't get fiercer than that. But you're like, the bitch is making a check for a perfume.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh.
But you know what they say? The actresses, when they get to that level, they have one of two options. They can choose to, like, do brands and, like, you know, go the sort of, like, fashion fragrance lane. Mm-hmm. Or they can do the shitty sellout movies.
Right.
So
right.
You can either do, you know, like, what... for example, like, big new star like Lupita Nyong'o.
Yes.
Like, not someone you're going to see in the rom-coms. So how does she make her movie?
Right.
Being a fashion... make her money? Being like a fashion icon.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
And you see that decision being made a lot.
She's a walking fit model.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, part of Lupita, I think... It was the combination of their performance coupled with the fact that when you saw her at every award show...
Stunning.
Perfection.
She was a walking canvas.
Exactly. Yeah, uh-huh. So you need her everywhere.
Right.
You need her everywhere. Yes, right. Yes. And then that helps the next thing to come in.
Yeah.
You know?
Truly a designer's dream, because there was also no one on the carpet looking like her.
Of course.
So basically, like, you had it imprinted in your mind.
Yeah.
Because there were those probably like four or five moments where you step out there during awards season.
Yeah.
And you really make a point. And I think she wore a bunch of really different looks. And then her Oscars look was like the culmination was that like light blue.
Oh, light blue.
Looked unbelievable.
Grecian goddess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, very goddess.
Hellenic.
Yes.
Yes.
Afro-Hellenic.
Afro-Hellenic. Honestly, title of ep.
Okay. Lupita and how do we get on this? Oh, Natalie.
The Globes. What do we think? So are we into awards season? Have we been seeing the movies?
Naomi, what's your awards journey?
Well, you know, I've gotten some of my screeners from the Writers Guild.
The WGA,
you know, and I'm trying to get up to speed, but I don't watch them all. You know, so many of
you
them.
Can.
It's also such a Oscar bait, awards bait is almost always heavy.
Yes. Horrible to watch.
And so you gotta be in this mood where you kinda wanna just be down.
Yeah.
You know? And I think when you are, you know, when they're actors and actresses, you know, like Frances McDormand and Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks was like, okay, I know what you do.
Right.
So I'm not necessarily, when I go into the performance, I almost take it for granted, right?
Yes.
You know that person is gonna give you
everything.
So then, to me, then the focus becomes, okay, well, you're putting all that into what story?
Right.
Yeah,
right?
Okay.
And so, I don't know, there's very few things that really spoke to me.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that wasn't good. It wasn't good, right, but I wasn't like, oh my God, that makes me... Usually if I walk out of something good, it's like, it makes me want to act. It makes me want to write.
Yes,
it makes me want to be in it,
yes.
Right? And there wasn't much that came to that.
I'll tell you, today I watched my screener for The Florida Project.
Okay.
Heartbreaking at the end.
Yeah.
And not easy to watch.
Mm.
And not because it was like violent or anything. It was just long.
And bleak.
And sad.
Yeah.
And you're sitting in the reality. Very well done movie.
Of course.
I did vote for Mr. Defoe.
Okay.
When I voted for SAG, which I did today.
You gotta be defriend to Defoe.
I was looking at the list and I was like, Woody Harrelson and Sam Rockwell, I don't really care about that movie. Steve Carell in Battle of the Sexes, I was like, meh. Did you see Battle of the Sexes?
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah, fine. Right?
Fine.
Right. Like, it didn't... I don't know. It didn't tell that story in a fun, cool way.
Exactly. Not moving.
Yeah, it wasn't... It was, you know, I... And again, especially when you're dealing with something historical, right? You know... If you know what the story is before going in,
right?
Yeah,
you're a quarter of the way there.
Yeah.
You're a quarter of the way there. But you put it in such a good way. It's like, okay... I know what these actors are about, what these performances are going to be in some general sense, what is going to be the emotional context in the story. And that's great.
Yeah.
I love that.
And the thing with it, too, is like today I was on the website and there's the options of the things you can stream, because now they don't always send out the DVDs. You can stream them. And I was like, are people going to watch Downsizing? Like, I saw Downsizing too, but
Naomi is making a face.
What did you think of Downsizing?
Okay,
give your take, and then I'll give
mine. So I watched a screener, you know, and periodically, when you're watching a screener, it will pop up on the bottom for your consideration in all categories. And I was insulted.
Yeah.
When I saw that, I said, I barely consider you a damn movie.
Yes. Well, it's truly hard after the first hour.
I was baffled. I was shook. I said, how, you know, as I am starting to learn this business a little bit, on even a small scale, you see how many people have to sign off on something.
Oh, yeah.
Let alone when you get into, like, a major motion picture.
Yes.
I said, who owed who money?
Yeah.
Oh.
Who held who ransom?
What the fuck was the second half of that movie, man? That was hard. For the first half, I thought, okay, this could continue to be fun. And I thought it started off, I was like, you know, this is a really fun idea. It seems like someone read the first half of the script and said,
yeah, did he? I like it.
Oh. And then didn't read the second half.
Well, I heard, you know, it's the same guy who did Sideways.
Alexander Payne.
He wanted to make that movie immediately after Sideways. And for a very, quite a few years,
a long time,
people were like, no.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it was in bringing in, like, Matt Damon, you know, people who had names to make it get made.
Right.
But to me, it was such a waste of a premise. And, like, I love sci-fi stuff. I love a lot of, you know, give me something like that and then just build out that world. That can be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be, like, very deep, right? It could just be a cool way to see something. Mm-hmm. And I thought they wasted that whole premise.
So wasted.
Also, when you have, you know, if you tell me the draw of this movie is Matt Damon, he better not be the worst damn character in the movie.
Hello.
You done told me to come watch Matt Damon.
The thing is,
that's already like a, well, you know,
exactly. I was fully there. I was there at a SAG screening, and the point they were even having it was, cause the only thing that's nominated is Hung Chow. She doesn't show up until halfway through. And even that, like, it was just like, I can't necessarily care about this character because I don't care about the rest of the movie now, because it's just changed so much. You just want to care.
Yeah.
And then sometimes, like, quote unquote bad movies that never get in the Oscar conversation, I'm like, I really cared about that shit.
Right.
And no one talked about it.
Well, I think the whole thing is because you're forced to see everything through the eyes of this Matt Damon character that is aimless, kind of not really grounded, certainly not compelling, not an interesting guy.
Right.
So when he cares about Hung Chow, we're supposed to care about Hung Chow, but because we don't care about him, we don't care about who he cares about.
Ah.
Right? So you're kind of like, okay, I guess you kind of like her.
Yeah.
And then it was like, I don't know who that dialect coach was.
No, that was tough.
They made her do
for
an
Hung
accent.
Oh, I heard about that.
Did you see it? You
so
didn't see it?
No. But
cartoony. It was distracting and it was insulting. And then it was so funny, you know, at the Golden Globes, I said, oh, when they were doing that during the opening monologue, and they had the different actors, she was the only one who nailed her line.
Yeah.
She was the only one who knew her comedic timing.
Jessica Chastain was just like, just lost.
She's been flubbing lines all over the place.
Well, she doesn't know what the jokes are, right? Like, I think, you know, so many people are like, I want to be funny.
Right.
And then they do it, and it's like, baby girl.
Oh, you can't do it.
She's been flubbing.
No, Hong delivered.
She delivered, but to see that, right?
Yeah.
And all I'd ever seen of her was Downsizing.
Right.
And Big Little Lies.
And she was in Big Little Lies.
Oh, God,
yeah. Everyone forgets because she was just very, like, much in the Greek chorus, but she was fully in that. And I'm wondering if they'll beef up her part in the second season of Big Little Lies.
Right.
Because she very likely will, if the precursors are to be believed, will earn an Oscar nomination.
Despite,
who knows? But you're not just going to put her in the back now that with an Oscar nomination.
Right. Yeah. Right. You absolutely cannot. Right.
Yeah. But I think it'll be interesting. But something like that, I was like looking at it, and I'm like, how fair is this? Because I voted today and didn't see everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't have any interest in seeing a lot of this shit.
Well, that's why.
Dark Shadows? No. What the fuck is
Dark Shadows?
That movie with Gary Oldman where he plays Winston Churchill.
Oh, Darkest Hour. Yeah.
Darkest Hour.
Same difference. Like, same difference. Honey, during the Oscars, I mean, the Golden Globes, when he was talking, I was like, honey, get him back to Azkaban. Get him back to Azkaban.
The room was dead.
Dead. Well, honestly, right, it was supposed to end after Oprah. Like, you don't have Oprah, and then everyone else has to try and talk. It's like, honey, I don't care about your journey.
Yeah. The fact that there was a moment of more stimulation after Oprah, which was Natalie saying that, was already too much. The room, if God had a sense of humor, the room would have exploded right there.
Right.
It was just like, honestly, like, that should have been the end of the whole evening.
Yeah.
And then also, when Barbara came out and did her speech about not enough women directors, I was like, okay, but the thing is, we just heard it, and like, it's been said at the highest.
Well,
pitch.
When Salma came up too, yes. And was like, you know, she tried to start a Time's Up, but it was like, oh, right. Too late. Like, I feel like this should have happened at the beginning,
and then
Oprah would have closed it, and then you could have had like a little, you know, because Lord knows she has come out and says so. Salma Hayek, so I'm not, you know, but it was just like, again, that timing that compared to this energy level we were at.
Yeah, yes. The flow of the show that I don't think you can. To the producer's credit, I don't think you can predict necessarily the flow of something like the Golden Globes.
I don't know. I think you know if you give an Oprah an award.
That's true.
That she gonna say something. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? She gonna take it. I said Oprah took us to church. She took us to school. She took us to the post office so we could write a letter home. You know what I'm saying? She was doing it all.
That speech, though, is so amazing because she starts off like confessional. Like, this is a little anecdote from my life. And it ends on like, literally, like, calling upon thunder.
It was almost like cartoonishly heroic.
Right?
Oh my God.
It was a new day!
You know, I love when she bellows.
Oh, I love
it. Okay, if Oprah bellows, I am here.
Yes. Okay. Fist raised. To the gods.
And it was so silly, but literally I was like, she's doing this off the top of her head.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, it obviously she thought about it, but, you know, she wasn't, you know, some people shaking with their papers up there.
Right.
And Oprah's got everything, and it just all comes together. I was like, you literally, like, brought up Rosa Parks, a forgotten woman who recently passed away and was sexually assaulted.
Yes.
You know, she kept it, and Sidney Poitier and everything.
And Ms. Reese, who we just learned
about. Well, that's the thing, who was assaulted. You know, she brought in Reese and Rosa and Sidney, and it was just kind of like, we went through history,
yes,
right? And she was personal. I'm obsessed with Oprah. I saw Oprah speak at, and this is like when I was into her, because when I was little, obviously, I knew the show, but it wasn't for me. I wasn't watching it.
Yeah.
I knew who she was, and she was great, but it was when I went to a friend's graduation at Howard University. Mm. Oh, my God, Oprah, please. I'm going to put this out here. Please don't come after me legally. I went to a friend's graduation at Howard University, which is a historically black college in D.C.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And Oprah was their graduation speaker.
Wow.
And Oprah said something I never forgot. You know, she was, you know, historically black college, everybody, you know, mostly black. And she was saying, she was like, you know, when I was growing up, you know, I was raised by my grandmother. All she wanted from me, she said her biggest dream for me was that I had good white people. That whoever she worked for would treat her well, basically.
Wow.
You know, and she's like, you know, my grandmother never lived to see my success. She never lived to see that I did get good white people. Good white people working for me.
Oh, unbelievable.
Howard University erupted.
Yes.
Dead.
How could you
dead.
Not?
How could you
dead.
Not?
Dead.
She read the fucking room.
And it was like, and it was literally, you know, but what she was saying too to everybody, she was like, basically what she was saying to these graduates, she was like, your crown has been paid for.
Yeah.
Wear it.
Oh.
Yes.
And I wasn't graduating. I was like, I'm taking it. I'm going out. I'm hitting these streets.
Yes. Like, I'm putting the crown on.
And that was for me the moment when I was like, I'm here for Oprah forever.
Oh,
and it was a different way you saw her speak, right? Because she wouldn't say good white people working for me in front of a non-all-black audience.
I know.
And also not now because the media would get a hold of it.
Well, exactly.
It would be a problem, yeah.
Exactly. This was probably 10 years ago.
Moment in time.
And it was like, you know, for her to be up there, and it was just kind of like who she was and how it was like that for me, you know, because I think what I had always seen up until then was that polished, that
general market thing.
That general market Oprah.
General market Oprah.
And it was so, you know, to see that and sort of be like how she literally just like brought it down and everyone was just like throwing up their caps. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was like literally a different world 2.0. Yeah. We're all going to do it.
it's so crazy. What I've always associated her with is warmth. Like,
that's
I guess if I had one word that I could ascribe to her, like, that I feel since I was a child watching her, like, or her just being on in the house and being present in the, you know, the culture, if you will, it's warmth. Mm-hmm. She just exudes, you just know, like Reese mentioned the hugs. You know the hugs are good.
Oh, yeah.
You know the hugs are bomb-ass hugs.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Like, that's someone who,
In the eighth grade, and Denver is in many ways. You know what? No, it's Denver's great now, but back in the day, and when I was in the eighth grade, this is 2003, we'll say, and Denver is just a culturally devoid place, and just like people wouldn't come, like you wouldn't see celebrities, but mm-hmm. Oprah was in town.
Ugh, and in Denver.
The entire right. and Denver and in the entire city shut down.
Of course, I was gonna say day off school.
Day off school. Well, people were just talking about it all day. Yeah. They're like, "Oprah's in town." My mom saw Oprah. My mom was standing in line for 5 hours to see if to just get a glimpse of Oprah from across like the window. And like everyone is just like, fucking, just going crazy over Oprah. And that was the moment mm-hmm. for me that I was like, oh. Oh, yeah. And I'm reading East of Eden because she told me to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
right? Just like all this stuff. And then, the moment that Oprah clicked for me was just her Barbara Walters interview after she had just announced OWN. Mm-hmm. And she, like, that moment where she, like, cries, tears up, and talks about Gail.
Mm-hmm.
Or talks about, her, like, going into a car dealership and buying two cars because she was like, because, hello, I could. Like, she was I was like, oh, yeah, you are this like amazing like just success story. Anyway, but yeah, the mother,
and it makes you
the mother I never had, the sister everybody would want, the best, the friend everyone deserves. I don't know a better person. I don't know a better person.
So good. It's so good.
Yeah. Anyway,
what did we think? Results of the evening. Have we all seen Lady Bird? We have.
We have.
Not a fan.
Okay, I'm gonna hope this is a safe space.
Wow, it's certainly a safe space.
I have not seen Lady Bird yet, and okay. I will tell you that again. It wasn't a story that I was like, I have to see.
Yes.
The one part about it that I did want to see and was, you know, the mother daughter relationship, because everyone says that's got something. I'm like, I feel like that might speak to my soul.
Yeah.
It's but great. I hadn't. I mean, I know she's great. I'm gonna say I loved her, Saoirse. Right, Saoirse. God, what was she? She was in that action movie where she's like a little feral killer. Do you remember? It's like she was like a little kid,
and then
she was like
Bones. No,
she was a feral killer. The Lovely Bones.
She was feral. She was unfortunately killed.
Oh, the Hannah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, loved her since Hannah. I think the girl's amazing. I call her Baby Anne Heche just in her physical features.
Oh my God, Baby Anne Heche.
She looks just like Anne Heche.
You know what? You're absolutely right. She does.
I think she's wonderful. It was more like the, like, again, Greta Gerwig doesn't speak to me. And I say doesn't speak to me. That's like my refrain is like, it's not, no one has to be bad, right?
Right.
But it's more like, okay, you're quirky. I don't do it.
Right. But I went into the movie with those same.
Yeah.
Same. Never cared.
With those same sort of preconceived things.
Yeah.
And then just the way that the mother-daughter relationship is portrayed felt very, very, very truthful, and not maybe not universal, but I related to it with not even my mother, but my dad. I was like, "That's me and my dad." And then the second the movie ended, when I walked out the theater, I called him up. I was like, and I told him, I was like, "I just saw a really nice movie. It was about like a daughter and a mother, but it reminded me of us and blah blah blah." And I just want to say I love you. And I don't know, Naomi. I'm not going
to
say
that's really nice. A movie that drove you to take an action like that.
And I feel like, and that's like the little anecdote that everyone has now with Lady Bird. It's like, oh, I called my parents as soon as the movie ended.
Well, I know a lot of people were like, oh, I cried. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like a lot of white women were telling me about them crying.
Mm-hmm,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm no longer mad at that, because initially white women told me they cried at Wonder Woman, and I was like, okay. And then I was literally on a JetBlue flight watching Wonder Woman.
And
I was like,
you cried?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Just when she's running across the battlefield.
It was that first, well, that was a moment, but it was that first fight of all the women.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. And then there were black women there too as well.
Yes.
Right? In mm-hmm. that in that group. And so I was like, okay.
Yes.
Because I think why I tend to be a little less enthused. I wouldn't, maybe resistant, but sometimes I'm just like, just because, you know, when the women don't look like me, it doesn't feel aspirational.
Right.
It doesn't feel relatable. It doesn't feel, you know, when a woman is held to a high standard, but then she's like blonde hair and blue eyed, that's part of it, right?
That's part of it.
So much of it, I'd be like, okay, I was like, I get it, but I don't feel empowered. And yet when I saw Wonder Woman, even though she's like Israeli, I was like, okay, girl.
Yeah.
I'm about to do CrossFit. We're about to kick some ass.
Yes.
Like, I was into it.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm like, okay, well, like, maybe I see Lady Bird and I feel it.
That's right. The thing. That is really, actually, that's a great point. I don't know if you feel this, but it's been like that with me with romance movies, too. Like, you never, ever, 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 ever see a homosexual love affair mm-hmm. on screen. And so I think every time I see some sort of love story, which is right. in every movie,
right. yeah.
I always leave like emotional, but not for the reason where I felt like, thank God they got together. It's always like a little sad
yeah.
because it's like, man, like wish that like that was out there.
Right.
Yeah. And that, and you know, for I guess POC, that must feel like fucking everything.
Well, there's so much writing on this movie coming out, Crazy Rich Asians, with Constance Wu and like Awkwafina, like every Asian actor, Ronnie Chang, and like everybody. And like they're texting groups that I'm in with like, me and Joel and like all these people that are just like
Crazy Rich Asian panic groups.
Panic groups being like us being like, this movie has to do well, and
right.
it probably won't, but it has to
put
do
out
well.
There that it's gonna
I
do
know.
Well.
No, I'm no. sure it'll be well. Great. And I think another way, and this is maybe a more cynical way, but mm-hmm. you have to remember that no one expects much from it.
Right.
So it's
right.
going so it's gonna right. do better. It's like y'all didn't think we were gonna do shit.
Yes.
We coming out these streets. You know what I mean? The same thing with Girls Trip. We're like, we spent $1.50 on a movie.
Yeah.
And made $100 million.
Yeah. Yes.
That's because you didn't think we was gonna come out for it.
That's so fair.
I think even more profoundly than that, Get Out, which
exactly.
I actually took, I voted for them for the ensemble and I voted for him for lead actor.
Yeah.
I think because I watched it last night for the first time. Now,
oh my
now,
God, tell me about listen, your journey. Welcome to my world.
Welcome,
my journey,
welcome.
My journey.
I've been in this place for so long. Yeah.
Yeah, he's been waiting for me to watch
yes.
it.
Yes, oh my God.
Now, here's why I haven't watched it. I really can't watch scary movies. Like even last night, I actually had to take a break in the middle
yeah.
because it got to be like a little
Where
too
was the
much.
Break? Where was the break?
The break was, right, actually, it was towards the end. Spoiler alert for Get Out. It's when it becomes
is it
clear.
The keys?
When it becomes clear that he is going to be operated on.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I had to take a short break.
Okay. Yeah.
And that was actually towards the end of the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess there was like half an hour left.
Yeah.
So, but I thought it was unbelievable. And I will say this something, because I was thinking about, you know, acting while I was watching it. And I was thinking to myself, because I had the screener because of SAG. It is so hard to lead a horror film.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You have to believably have so many things revealed to you, so much shock and horror and panic
right.
and intense despair. That is not easy. And the acting challenges in that movie, not only just for him, but across the
board. For everybody. Yes. For everybody.
For everyone. It was so high. I talked to Rachel Winiski about it today. Like, it was such an ask of all those actors. And what a complicated script.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because it's not just, because like some horror movies where, you know, the first 10 seconds, you kill a girl, and then maybe 30 minutes later, someone else dies, and you're kind of watching people get picked off.
Yeah.
You have that opening that showed you, okay, this is what our stakes
right,
are.
Right, right.
But then it is a very slow burn,
yes.
right? Where literally it is like, so no one's doing anything crazy, mm-hmm. but it's going to be a little menacing.
Yes. Yeah.
That's hard.
Incredibly
like,
hard.
Playing that like the whole time.
It's almost impossible to do because like at any point you could just be like, really? Like this bitch that's the main character is not like letting on that like there's something weird going on. And the thing with this movie is it's so slow.
Yep.
The peel back of something weird and fucked up mm-hmm, is going mm-hmm, on, mm-hmm. and the family. It's Bradley Whitford, Catherine Keener, and Allison Williams. They play it so real and grounded. Yeah.
Honestly, White Bait is the role Allison Williams.
White
was born
Bait
to.
Is
honestly
the
that is a role she was born to play.
But she was perfect.
She was literally yeah. like I was like this is it.
Yeah.
That's the best thing she's ever done. Yeah. And I actually am a fan of hers on Girls. I think that she's a little bit more aware than everyone thinks she is. But this, I was actually surprised she's not in the awards conversation a little bit more because movie doesn't work without that
her.
Performance.
Yep.
It doesn't work.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, that's like a deck of cards, that movie, because one thing is weird. And it almost got weird with the brother. The acting,
I was just
going to
say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was the guy to me who, like, I was like, you're terrifying.
Yeah.
Literally immediately terrifying.
Like, that's probably the point where if I'm him, if I have one tiny qualm with the movie, it's like, I leave when the brother tries to fight me at dinner.
Yeah.
When the crazy-eyed white brother.
Right.
Who looks crazy.
He looks terrifying. He looks terrifying.
I wondered about that casting. Yeah. I was like, maybe we cast someone who we can believe
he's
is like the Allison Williams equivalent.
He's having a moment, though, because he's in
What's his name?
I forget. He's in Three Billboards.
He's also in Florida Project.
And he's in Florida
Project. He was in this movie today,
right.
too.
Well, I'm just we're mentioning Lady Bird and Get Out, and those are the only two movies this year in the awards. Like, I think it's a good year, but those really are the only two movies for me that I'm like inspired to like write or to make.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I loved Get Out. It was, you know, I wanted it to win the Globes only because I wanted to push it into the Oscars conversation. Right, I just wanted to be in that. Like, I wanted to be such a contender, but at the same time, it is not a musical or comedy, it wasn't going to.
It didn't clear any hurdles.
You know what?
I really want it, and I'm hoping because like you know on the WGA side, I gave him screenplay. I gave him like I was like I was coming for whatever. I will nominate it for everything that I can do because it is, you know, again, to be a first film to get that tone to, you know, something he said. He was like, I did a movie. He's like, I did a movie that white people saw where there was not a single good white person.
Right,
because that's a big deal because you can have that bat, but there's always usually a white savior or somebody who's like, I'll help you. And it was, he made this movie where they were all bad. And you were still like, everyone came. Like, I saw that movie on 125th Street in Harlem.
Yeah.
And it was like packed and mixed and loud and so fun.
Yes.
And perfect.
And I wish I'd seen it.
And it was like, that was, you know, he did that. You know what I mean? Like, the first time I wasn't annoyed by Harlem's gentrification, I was like, we should all be here together.
That's why that movie should win Best Picture. I think that movie should win Best Picture because I think when you talk about Best Picture at the end of the year, it should say something about
the
year.
About the time, yeah.
It should say something about the year. And I think that watching Lady Bird win Best Musical Comedy, it said something about that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think Get Out says something about all of it. That's what I want to see. And I think that actually, if it's in drama, I think it beats Three Billboards.
I hope so.
I would hope so.
Like,
I would
hope talking about all their the globes other night. And now we can, like, Yes.
It's the categorization that fucks it up. Because I'm sure Universal thought, we can't throw this in drama. They won't take it seriously. I think they would have.
Oh, my God.
Because it had nominations. It's showing up everywhere.
And Jordan Peele wasn't that happy with that. Jordan Peele like tweeted like the day that like Golden Globe.
It's a documentary.
He was like, "This is a documentary,"
which I also tweeted. I mean, Group Mind.
Yeah.
Jordan and I.
No, and it's so funny too. Yeah, it's like there's no good white person because Allison Williams on, I think it was like on some interview she was like, "It's crazy because people will come up to
Seth Meyers." She said this.
Be like, people will come up to me and be like, "Okay, but your character was like." Was good though. Like she loved him, and she has to
no!
be like, "No, she's an evil." Disgusting human being. Like, what is so hard to understand? It's like, no, and it's all the white, and it's only white people who go up to her and say,
yeah,
that
that's what she was saying.
Who are just like trying to find some iota of like redemptive
it's
thing.
Like, you did care.
It's like, no.
It's like, what movie did you watch that you can't even, like, that's literally only on you. To come to her and be like, I thought it was, you know, I could tell you really loved him. It's like, no, bitch. That's entirely on you. It says a lot about
you. It
does.
So on you. Okay, so we're going to take a really quick break, and then we will be right back with Naomi.
Yes.
Okay, we're back with Naomi. We were just talking over the break about how
genre.
Matt and Naomi are both sort of foretelling this sort of new trend that movies will catch up to TV, where TV is really thriving in genre right now, and genre is being rewarded.
I just think we were talking about this. You know, the biggest show on television is Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
You got to imagine if we saw the numbers that Stranger Things would be right behind that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Big Little Lies, huge in its market, probably dominated.
Yep.
Like things like this, Handmaid's Tale, even. You know what I mean?
Yes.
These shows that are getting hoisted up. These
or even period like period pieces too.
Right. I mean, the thing is about period pieces is that's like I think what. Classically, the awards system the studio system has always thought, here's your awards bait, this is the only option.
Right.
But I think that audiences, because of the rise of television right now, we're saying we like genre stuff.
Right.
And genre stuff can be good. Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of people are, I don't agree with this, but a lot of people want to see Wonder Woman sneak into one of the 8 or 9 Best Picture slots.
Yeah.
You know, I think when The Dark Knight didn't sneak in there for Best Picture, people were like, that was the movie of the year.
Yeah.
And I think what we're seeing is with the downfall of Harvey Weinstein, I think, and the kind of waking up of Hollywood, which I think has to happen or it's going to fucking crumble, to what people want. It's not what it used to be.
Yeah.
Like, I think we don't want to be just given these four or five options for what are the prestige things at the end of the year. Because even think about it, like the things that are catching on that people didn't really think would catch on are like I, Tonya.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like it's what are these period films that are, I mean, Phantom Thread, I guess, Darkest Hour. To me, it's Dark Shadow. It's going to be Dark Shadow for me. But, you know, and, you know, I just think we got to get more creative, and I think we might see that with the fall of Weinstein and the ushering into the new era. I hope we see a big, bold statement. We're going to embrace Get Out. I hope Get Out wins Best Picture. I'm putting it into the universe.
Yes.
Moonlight and then Get Out.
But yes, manifest.
I'm just worried that since it didn't, like, clear hurdles, quote unquote, at the Globes, it's not going to, like...
But it was just not in the categories where it was going to win, which is why I was really kind of annoyed. I was like, you put it in a category that... Even the director says it shouldn't be in.
Right? Yeah. So, for sure.
I think also, too, once he says that, that also kind of gives them the pass to not give it anything.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and it's you didn't put it in a place where it was going to succeed. That's the thing. It's like, don't you set him up to fail?
Yeah, exactly.
How dare you?
I think they thought they were helping.
Of course.
Think they thought it's going to be easier to beat Lady Bird and I, Tonya than Call Me By Your Name and
Three Billboards and
Dunkirk. I think they saw Dunkirk and said, Get Out can't compete with Dunkirk.
Right.
Yes,
Get Out can compete with Dunkirk.
Right, right, right. Especially, again, like, it wasn't just here. It also did really well outside of the U.S.
Yeah.
You know, was it like, it did say something. And when you make a movie, especially, again, as unassuming as, you know, cheaply made, I think $4 or $5 million in movie language. I'm like, half of that had to go to Bradley Whitford.
He's famous. It's actually box office
draw.
Rule of culture number 30. Bradley Whitford is a box office draw.
You're right. It went to Bradley. I hope Catherine got a good cut of that too.
I think Catherine got a good cut. But I said, I mean, Bradley Whitford's in town. Okay.
I was so happy to see him, and also kind of handsome.
Oh, he's always
the white hair.
The white hair.
White hair on certain white men can be so alluring.
Oh my god. Okay, I feel like we could dive into award season all the day. I've been I actually wrote a missive today on Facebook about I, Tonya. I'm down for I, Tonya. I'm here for I, Tonya. You see I, Tonya?
Yes, I did.
You liked
I, Tonya? Wonderful.
I loved it.
I voted for Margot today.
Good for you.
I did. I think that she delivered the single best acted scene of the year.
Which one?
The makeup
the
in
Rouge.
The mirror.
Yes.
I thought that was the emotional climax of the whole
film. For me, it was her. At the moment where she really had me was when she was getting sentenced.
The courtroom.
That was the kicker.
That was something. I was like, okay, Margot.
Oh, yeah, no. She's here to stay.
She's here to stay.
Also, she produced that film.
Oh.
She's here to stay.
Yeah.
But we should ask the question.
The question, Naomi, which is, what was the culture that made you say, culture's for me?
You were in your closet and you saw culture and you said, I'm going to wear this for the rest of my life.
It's so funny. You know, I grew up as an only child, and so the two things I did were read and watch TV. Yeah. So it's funny because, you know, obviously I've listened to so many apps and heard different things. So in some ways, we could say Babysitter's Club, culture.
Yeah,
I was addicted. I mean, I was a member of the Babysitter's Kids Club. Like,
yes.
I would get books sent to me to the point where I think I was 13. We sent almost 100 books, duplicates, to the local library. My mom was like, because I would have the books and then part of the club, I would get the books. And so I had doubles. And so I took all my duplicates and gave them to the local library up on 135th.
Nice.
And like, but that's how many I had. And just, when, you know, I'm at home now and like, the books are still there because I will not get, yeah.
I'm
grown and I'm keeping them.
Yeah.
Yes. I met Anna Martin twice. I was afraid and silent both times.
Oh.
I was like literally like.
Because she was it.
She was it. And it was so funny because you see this picture. It's like literally a plain white woman. You know, like she was like literally like she was in a turtleneck. I had on a horrible puffy jacket. And she was just like.
Oh.
You know. But she was not this imposing person by any means.
Right.
And yet I was like. Like, I was terrified of her. That was a big thing for me.
Babysitter's Club.
That was definitely. And then I would also say, too, you know, again, watching so much TV, I grew up on so many Disney Channel shows and like everything. Again, that's how I knew I wanted to be an actor. A big thing for me was Angela on Boy Meets World.
Wow.
Now,
okay. Angela, broke it open.
She was Ryder Strong's, Sean's girlfriend.
Yes.
Towards the later seasons, the end of high school, She was a black girl.
Yes. Loved
she
it.
She was his girlfriend.
Yep.
And it wasn't about her ass being black.
Yeah.
He was the problem.
He was the problem.
He was immature. He was immature and acting out.
He was the bad boy.
He was being such a writer strong about it.
He was such a strong writer.
Yeah.
And that was his girlfriend, and that was huge for me. I might have been 12 or 13.
Honestly, wow. Nobody really talks about that.
I'm
that
always
was
talking
groundbreaking.
About it. I'm always talking
about it.
Yeah,
you're talking about it.
I'm always talking about Angela from Boy Meets World. It was huge for me. And also, Ryder Strong was like the hot one. You know what I mean? Like, so I was like already like into him anyway. And then he brought home this black woman. And then I remember at the time, she looking it up, you know, and being like, who's it? She was like older than everybody. Like, she was like an adult. Like, they were all teens. And
in the universe of the show? Or
no, in the real life.
I see,
You know, it's like, older. I don't know. Just everything about it, I was like, and it made me feel like maybe there's space for me.
Ugh.
But that was, you know, especially a Disney Channel show. And like, they really... It was a lot to do. As you said, broke it up. Like, Angela on Boy Meets World was like, maybe it's time.
Yeah. Well, you know what? As a love interest, it was huge.
Yeah.
Because they always did the thing where it was like, and there's a black friend.
Right.
And there's a
usually,
you know,
a sexless black friend.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes. The black guy who wisecracks.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? Or maybe you've got a nerdy black girlfriend and she's always the one who's like, she's not talking to you now.
Right. Exactly. But that was the first, she was truly like, kind of like a straight man, like girlfriend on that show, which again, there's problems with the archetype of that role, but we had only ever seen white girls play that role.
Exactly.
And the same kind of white girl, a Topanga white girl.
A white girl named Topanga.
Yeah.
A black girl named Angela. I loved what they were doing.
Yeah.
And now, what an inversion.
In the show, how did Angela come in? Was she a friend of someone's and then started dating
I think she was just new at school. You know, like, I think she kind of came in with the new season, the new school year.
Yeah.
And she was like Angela, and Angela like had her shit together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Ryder was kind of a mess, and she made him better.
Yeah.
You know?
Did they go to college and then they meet, or was she come to the high school?
She was high school.
High school, okay.
She was high school.
Yes.
And it was huge. I mean, and they didn't, it was never a thing.
Yeah.
There was never a very special She's Black episode. Honestly, listeners, call me out. But I don't remember that being like, it's like, it was never, Sean, you're dating a black girl? No one ever said that.
Right.
As far
as
I saw on Boy Meets World.
And you know what's interesting about those Disney shows is they did come in with a sneak attack sometimes and have like a very special episode. Like, I remember there was an episode of Lizzie McGuire one time. Where I forget, Miranda had, it becomes clear that Miranda has like a problem with food.
Yeah.
She's got like developing an eating disorder. And there's this scene where Gordo and Lizzie like kind of confront her and they're like, we care about you and we want to make sure that you're okay because we know that you're not. And she's kind of like, you're right, guys. That's not everything is okay. And then the episode kind of ends. And my dad was like, I like that. I'm going to show that to my students. My dad was a health teacher.
Oh, he was?
I'm going to show that to my students. I like that. What is this show? It's really good. But
it was a teaching tool.
Yeah,
McGuire was a teaching tool.
But like every other episode was like, oh no, my foot hurts. You know, it's like not eating disorder related.
Oh my God. But yeah, I mean, see, I shamefully have to say that I have a Disney Channel blind spot. Thank you, Will.
You a Nickelodeon kid?
No, I'm just saying I didn't get cable. So I had none of it.
Yeah.
See.
So then, because my parents thought they were doing me like a huge service by like limiting my options. But no, what I ended up doing was just watching like lewd ass Mad TV sketches.
yeah, right.
And like by like the time I was 9, was quoting like insane like the Van Combe lady.
Yeah.
Just saying like crazy things, and I was like, oh, this is not normal.
But Naomi and I were cable queens.
Yes.
True cable queen.
Cable queen is the title of that. Cable queen.
Always. I had it all.
Yeah.
I was watching Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Okay. See, that's where it started for me. I couldn't fucking get through it.
Oh, that's when you were afraid.
It was too scary, Naomi. It was too
scary.
For
you.
I loved it all. Like, I read Goosebumps. Then the older version of Goosebumps, Fear Street.
Ooh,
yes,
Fear Street.
I was like into all of it. I've always loved horror. The first movie I wrote, probably like 30 pages, but it was in high school, and it was called People Get Dead. And it was meant to be like a funnier, like a cooler version of Scream. But like, I always love that stuff.
I think we have to have a full length.
Yeah, a full length.
A staged reading.
A staged reading of
People Get Dead.
People Get Dead.
Make it even funnier than Scream. Do it.
Now, are you a horror fan? Like, is that something that you
I
like?
I really like it. It's funny though. Now, I like to watch them with people. Yeah. It's not that I'm afraid, but because horror does have that like cheese effect and it's so fun to kind of comment on, I don't like to watch them by myself. And Jubu's not a horror fan because for him, he's like, well, I don't get scared, so I don't like, it's not doing what it's supposed to do. Like, he just doesn't feel it.
Is it that he doesn't get scared, or is that he, or is it that like he just isn't like affected by like the viewing experience?
Right. Well, I guess that's the same thing. He's like, because he's kind of like, he's like, I know it's going to happen.
Right.
Not obviously exactly, but he's sort of like, okay. And then he's like, well, I know it's not a real person dying. Right. So, you know what I mean? So he doesn't, he just like, can logic his way out of it.
Sure.
Whereas
sure.
to me, it is
real.
So real and insane, right? Yeah. Like, it's so, I don't really like as much the ones that involve a house where it's like, I bought an old house, now it's haunted.
Yeah.
I bought an old house, now we're dead. I like more of the we're living lives and someone has come upon us and decided we must die.
I love that. Yeah.
You know, like, I'm so into like, I Know What You Did Last Summer, like all of them.
Yeah, those
like,
are fun.
Yeah.
Those are fun. See, the ones that get me, the thing is, I'm just very susceptible to a jump scare, which those things. My body physically hurts when I get jump scared.
No, I get it. I get anxious, but it's funny. I get just as anxious when I'm watching a show like Better Call Saul.
100%.
Where I know it's like, don't go in there.
Yeah.
Because you go say something and they gonna know you lying. And then I like get on edge. So it's the same kind of anxiety, which is why I think I'm like, okay, we'll do it for all of them.
Well, because I would rather watch a jump scary thing than like sit through 3 episodes of Breaking Bad being like,
it's
I want to fucking throw up.
I had to stop watching Breaking Bad because it was too much.
It made me too anxious.
There was this, I've said this before, but the scene where Gus slits someone's throat in front of them to show them who's boss and that they are his bitch. Like,
I never saw that and I never will.
No, it was, I had to stop. I was like, okay, this show is officially too good. Game of Thrones, I can barely, I really can't because of the violence and like the bigness of it.
Yeah.
Like, it just, I don't know. It's too much. So you say, are you afraid of the dark? That maybe made me think maybe that was the impetus for
all
this.
That's what started you,
because that shit was really scary.
Some of it was terrifying.
The Tia and Tamara episode?
What?
Tell, you don't remember the Tia and Tamara
I'm
episode?
I'm old. Tell it. Tell it.
The Tia and Tamara episode. Uh-oh. By the way, as I was leaving the house, I caught a little bit of the reel. Which is the view with Tia.
Oh, yes,
I think maybe it's Tamara. It's Tamara, and Lonnie Love is on it.
Yes,
And one of the chicks from 3LW.
Yeah.
The ladies were very emotional about Oprah.
Oh,
they all agree she shouldn't be president, but they were moved, and Tamara had a tearful moment.
Oh, good.
But this is very much a Tamara day, because you bring up Are You Afraid of the Dark, and their episode was this, and this will fuck with me forever. So Tamara is living her life, and she has this best friend, and something happens where they go to this pet store and they get a lizard, and they bring the lizard home. Now the lizard's like a magic lizard.
Oh Lord.
So the lizard somehow becomes a clone of Tamara.
Oh,
and it's played by Tia.
Of course.
So Tia, who's this lizard, starts living the life of Tamara. And she's evil. And the best friend is like, something's weird.
Right.
I don't know. Somehow.
Well, what happened to Tamara, the lizard?
She becomes the lizard. But Tamara, or she gets like locked up or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Tamara is then becomes a person again somehow. So there's this scene where Tia and Tamara are both in the world. But really, there's only one of them.
Of course.
Yeah.
So now they're both out there, and it's this horrifying scene where the best friend sees both of them. And she's like freaked out. And it's somehow been established that if you spray one of them with water, they will turn back into the lizard, and that will like that's the curse.
I love it. I love a simple elemental.
Exactly. And you know, they only had like 12 minutes to set this up because they had to split it up. They had to get to
it. And they world build in 12 minutes. All this stuff, the lizard, the water,
and I remember it to this day. So that's how you know. Did it win a Pulitzer Prize? I don't know. What do they win for this shit? Fucking Peabody. Send the Peabody over post haste. But fucking, so then the best friend is like looking from one of them to the other, and she's like, it's me, your friend. And like, no, she's like, it's me, I know this thing about you. And it's like, no, remember this. And like, one of them says something that really connects, and she sprays the other one with water, and that she turns into the lizard. So then they hug and they're like, oh my God, oh my God. Then the last scene in the episode,
it was actually the wrong girl.
Tia going over to the lizard and being like, well, like says something like, well, bitch, see you fucking later, throws her down a well.
I was going to say, like, this whole time I was like, I was like, this isn't that scary.
Oh, no, bitch. That's the thing. It fucks with your head.
The fear is in the injustice.
The fear is
in the injustice. Especially as a child, yes. Right? Because you want it to all, you want to have the scare. And what usually I like is like, but then at the end, it's all sorted, right? Yes. Like the evil is defeated in some capacity.
No way. Not this.
That'll shake you to your core.
That's what I'm saying. It's existentially terrifying. It's irresponsible for kids to be watching it.
Right. What was the, because I would read Goosebumps at the appropriate age and be like, this isn't fucking scary.
Yeah.
Did you genuinely find it scary? And was Fear Street scary? I never read Fear Street.
No, it was never really scary because it's funny because when I'm reading something, the scare, then it's up to my mind to conjure, right?
Yes.
How evil or how gross or how whatever something
right,
is.
Right,
and
right.
So I never really took it there. Mm-hmm. But what I've always liked about that kind of stuff, because it's usually this mystery.
Right.
Who's doing it? Why are they doing it?
Right.
And that engagement, I mean, the same reason why I love true crime now and like all my procedurals and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am distracted enough. Uh-huh. Like, it for me is like the closest I can kind of come to being like out of my head.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, like, oh, what's going to happen here? Well, you know, what's going to happen next?
Yes.
And I think that's what I liked about it. I wasn't terrified, but I was definitely engrossed. I needed to know.
It was a portal into some distressing situation that you could just like dip your toe in and then opt out as whenever you wanted.
Yeah.
Because, okay, you know what? And I will say,
that was very astute.
Okay, whatever.
You gonna get that copay, Bowen?
Come on, astute.
My therapy.
The TV show with whenever they would do Night of the Living Dummy and
yes.
Slappy.
Oh,
those
yes.
were actually really fucking
terrifying.
They were
terrifying. Really scary. They were really scary. I'm terrified. Like dummies. The movie I remember. I saw it as a kid, maybe 6 years old, 7 years old. They took me to see Child's Play.
No thanks.
Not like just took me. It was like we were all, everyone was going and it was like, bring the kid.
No fucking thanks.
They were just like, let's bring Naomi to Child's Play.
Truly terrified for life.
Oh.
And my cousins didn't help because they totally terrified me. My cousin and I, we both had this toy where you put a like cassette tape in her back and the doll would talk, so to speak. So again, it's a cassette tape. So my cousin, they go, her name was Susie Scribbles, was like the actual doll.
Susie
and they're like,
Scribble.
Naomi, talk you got to come talk Scribble. To Susie. I go over there and they've recorded. Hi, Naomi. I'm Susie, Chucky's sister. Wanna play? I hid in the bathroom for hours.
No. Yeah, no, that's 100%.
Terrifying.
Because that was irresponsible
it was
of them.
Evil.
Evil. Evil.
There's an evil in their spirits.
Evil in their spirits.
I feel with Chucky, like, it really shouldn't be scary, but it fucking is,
it
okay?
Is.
Like, it. When mm-hmm. everyone was like, did you see it?
Yep.
Okay. See, I would rather die than see it. I am on record. Like, when you tell me that the kid's going to die, I don't want kids dead.
I know.
I don't.
Oh, the lights went out.
This hasn't happened to us in a while. See, honestly, I don't want kids dead and the lights went out. For the listeners at home, the lights went out in the studio.
That's
and now I will go hide in the bathroom for hours.
That's crazy. Yeah.
But they're back. But here's the thing. Like, Did you like this new It?
I thought it was fine. Again, knowing what was going to come.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so I was more like, oh, that's interesting. I do think clowns are scary. I find
clowns
creepy.
Okay.
But there is, as I just said, dipping your toe. There's something about, you know, I get to see this, but I also get to leave
right.
90 minutes, right, and go about my business.
Yes.
And that's very, I think, part of it. It's almost kind of a personal dare.
Yeah.
I stare at it.
No,
think
90 minutes is too long.
Think of it as a theme park ride. Think of it as a Disney.
And here's the thing. Here's the weird thing. I'll do any theme park ride. I've been skydiving.
Oh.
I've done this. And I will go to haunted houses. I kind of am obsessed. But I have the physical ability to run away on that shit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whereas in a movie, I don't know. I feel like it's just... Maybe it's the sound. I don't know what it is.
It's the sound.
It's probably
it's sound.
I did go through a horror movie kick when I was like 14, like right after Saw came out.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it was like Saw, The Grudge.
Okay.
Right prior to that was The Ring.
Yep.
God, the remake of, I've talked about this before, but that remake of The Hills Have Eyes was truly disturbing.
No, because it's actually really fucked up.
Because it's fucked up because there's like sexual
crime. Oh no, there's rape. There's rape in it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I mean, a mutant rapes Claire from Lost.
Right. Whereas like, this is insane.
Not acceptable.
No,
right.
Not okay.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's that, what you could get away with at that time was like, and that was when I was like 14, 15 seeing movies, and I remember the one movie that came out, it was like the seventh one in a row. Also, remember that movie with Dakota Fanning and Robert De Niro, Hide and Seek?
Oh God, yes.
Fuck that movie. They threw Elizabeth Shue out a window. The one that I was like, I'm never going again, was when Michael Keaton was in a low point in his career and he did the movie White Noise. Remember the movie White Noise?
I do remember White Noise.
And the whole scary thing about it was just that White Noise would come on the television.
Fuck that. But see, that's what I mean. I don't like, if it's just like, we're in a house and something's creepy, like Paranormal Activity, like The House.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm kind of like, I get it. It's like, you can make it in a weekend.
Right.
But I don't. It doesn't do
that. What were the circumstances you described? I just, the way you worded that was beautiful. Was, we're living, we're going about our lives, and someone wants to kill
someone comes into our lives and decides that we should die.
That we should die. Yes. Gorgeous.
That's like, I don't know. It's like fun. It's fun. It's crazy. It's funky.
Now, so if you are... You and Jubu are hanging out. Like, what's the genre of movie you guys, or television show? What are you guys going to? It's not horror.
It's not horror. He doesn't want to do horror. Sometimes I can try to, like, make him watch it, but then he'll just, like, play Candy Crush on his phone during the movie. Yeah. And I'm like, you have to be here. You have to be here.
But that's self-care.
To be detached a little bit. To be detached a little bit.
Know that.
It's funny, when we can never find anything when we're like, let's just watch something, we'll put on some sort of Netflix stand-up special.
Yeah.
It's always
what you guys land on?
Like, if it's like, if all shows, but then so much of our shows, like, for instance, we're really excited. I was like, Baskets is coming back.
Oh,
that'll be good for us. I love Baskets.
We haven't talked about that show.
Louis looks amazing in the promos. On the posters, Louis Anderson is
Louis
like,
Anderson.
Oh, Louis.
Glamorous.
Yeah, we were going to say, don't you speak of Louis.
Oh, no, I meant Louis Anderson.
I know. Yes. Well, and also just him being in the promos where I'm like, yes, because this show is Mama Baskets. Okay, Mama Baskets is the heart and the soul.
Yes.
That is the character I am most invested in.
Yeah.
It's such a weird show. I think it's so interesting that it hasn't gotten like a Globe nom, because it's weird and the
well,
foreign press loves it weird.
For some stuff, right?
Louis Anderson was last season, maybe?
Yeah.
Like the very first season.
I forget what it was he was on before. I don't know if it was an Emmy. I think he won something too. Yeah, I'm sure he has.
But there's something, I'm like, Baskets is just so weird.
Uh-huh.
But I love that show. I love, you know, Catastrophe is one of my favorites. Mm. A lot of like, I think I like comedies with gravitas.
Yeah.
You know what?
That's my thing.
You know what I feel like? I feel like I'm shouting into it like a well or something. That's not an expression.
Shouting
a
in the well, trying to get that lizard to wake back up. Tamara!
Before I forget, Tamara shared an amazing stuffing recipe on Thanksgiving.
Ooh.
And I made it. And it was delicious.
It
was a delicious stuffing.
A savory
stuffing with meat, with sausage, but also with little bits of apple.
It was
sweet and savory. It was delicious.
I just want to say, now that we're talking about Tamara and Tia, I have to say, shout out to Sister Sister. It's actually rule number 101 of culture. Jack K is queen.
Mary. Just in case.
Jack K apparently is, she loves to block on Twitter. For no good reason.
Really?
She has no time.
She has no time for your toxicity.
Friend of the show, Matt Bellassai, if you're listening, he has a great podcast called Unhappy Hour. His pinned tweet is a screenshot of Jack K. Henry's blocking him for no reason. She's like, I don't know what I did. Like, I love you. Like,
oh,
what?
No.
Is it Jack K. Harry or Jack K. Henry?
Harry. Sorry. But she's queen.
She is queen. She took lines that were not laugh lines
and made them
laugh lines like a pro.
Just she's the queen of an inflection to like turn something. It's
that's
the inflection.
What it is.
Yeah. That's what it is, right?
It's the way she says it.
It's not. It's literally just the tone. Like, I mean, did y'all see 227? So when I said Mary, were you familiar?
Okay.
I know where it comes from, but I have never seen
227. I know it's the birthplace of Regina King.
Yes.
Yes.
Where she was born on the set.
Born on the set of 227 and her first role.
Naomi, I think I just need to ask you, what is it like writing for Andrea.
Is it? I mean, Ms. Martin.
Ms. Martin.
Ms. Martin.
On Great News.
I mean,
or just talk about the show. I mean, like, it's...
Well,
it's,
no, I mean, I think it's... it was great in general. You know, it's... Obviously, I came in on season two, mm-hmm. so they already had a little bit of... Not a little bit. A system in place.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It was interesting to... you know, Andrea's so fucking good.
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
a real actress.
Legend of all time.
But at the same time, the style, I think, is so different. That 30 Rock, that kind of jokey, super fast-paced.
Right, right.
It was so interesting because... Okay, I'll tell you my one Andrea Martin story. So there's like one thing where her character cut... Well, it's more like being on set. Like the one time I was on set, so I co-wrote episode 12. Uh-huh. And so I was on set during that episode, and... her character is like wearing, she has a Chico's jacket because Chico's is her character's life. And she's like trying to get her jacket off. So she's kind of like pumping her shoulders. And the line was like, oh no, I think I'm twerking. And then we're like on set. And then literally the director's like, Naomi, we need you. And I was like, what? What do you need? What can I do? How can
oh,
I help?
No.
And he goes, can you show Andrea what twerking is? And it was, so my Andrea Martin story is that I had to show legend Andrea Martin
how to twerk,
which I need everyone to know that I can't do. So it was more like, I was like more of a booty pop, however free you want to be. But it was so crazy how she was like, okay. You know, she takes it all seriously.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, she's going to be like, okay, how do I do this?
Wow.
And I was like,
Both of you went above and beyond in that scenario.
Because yeah, that's
for
insane.
Situations that were... That will, shall we say, foisted upon you by circumstance.
Yeah, by a quote-unquote circumstance. That's insane. Like, I would, to be a fly on the wall for that, I would love
that.
It
would have been, yeah. That,
it was so crazy, but I was like, she's so, like, cool and down. Yeah. Whatever. Right. You know, she's like, okay, I'll do it. Whatever it is. You know, she'll be like, explain to me at reference. Or explain, yeah. Or she'll be like, sounds crazy.
Yeah.
But like, I'm into it. Like, she was just so game at all times.
Now, I have to ask a question. Nicole Richie? That's the question.
Question mark?
I had no idea she was even an actress. Didn't know it was a thing.
Uh-huh.
And okay. Then apparently everyone tells me she's great on the show.
She's wonderful. I'm going to say something that is, you might in advance want to edit it out.
Come on, here we
I
go.
I auditioned for the Nicole Richie part.
What?
Isn't that so funny?
Keep it. Why not?
But again, no callbacks. It's fine. But... No, she is, first of all, super fucking nice and regular.
Yeah, that's great.
Which
to hear.
I think you never, at least me, I never expect whenever someone like grows up in kind of LA rich and famous life,
yeah.
that you just assume, I'm like, okay, you're not connected to reality.
Right.
Super nice, really funny.
Yeah.
Always nailed it. You know, and also though, for that character, there's such a clear cadence, right? So you can kind of, you know, when it comes to writing that character, it's actually not easy, but kind of easier because you know what her thing is going to be.
You
know how she's
going to
say it.
Yeah,
it's that tone. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, was the performance that she gives, is it different than the take that you had on it? Like, super different?
Oh my God, completely.
Yeah.
Completely.
From Naomi to Nicole Richie, we take a jump.
We take it hugely.
And that's the beauty of acting.
It's about choices.
It's about choices.
It's about taking choice, like making choices.
And what you can bring as a Nicole Richie.
Yeah. Do you like to audition?
I don't like auditioning, but I like working.
Yeah, so here's the thing. Naomi extended a beautiful invitation for pilot season stuff. Next time we're in LA, hopefully, maybe it'll be around that time.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Naomi and I will be put up for the same parts.
We're hoping it will be quirky, bespectacled.
Yes.
Other.
Bespectacled.
Quirky, bespectacled other type.
Yes, yes.
I get officious and well-dressed assistant.
Oh!
A lot of us.
And we know what officious and well-dressed means.
Officious.
It means gay, listeners of Las Culturistas. It means gay.
Fastidious. That's a fun word to say.
Fastidious.
You're like,
this is a
good code word.
I get sassy.
Is something they also give us, too.
Yeah.
And actually, someone actually said this to me recently about the word sassy, because I thought, like, sassy was a word, like, that gay people could get pissed off for being described as, and now also like black women,
it's
being described as sassy. I talked to a white woman recently who was like, I hate the word sassy. I feel like it's meant to target black women. White women. I think it's to say overweight. I was like, that's so funny.
Really?
I never thought of sassy
never.
As being that. But you know what I think it is? I think it's just that everyone universally hates the word sassy. Right. And no one wants to be called sassy. Because I think sassy, we actually threw it in the troll bowl as an I don't think so honey topic.
Yeah. Yes.
Somebody pulled the word sassy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think sassy means annoying. Like, yes. It means bothersome.
Right.
It means, like, too much.
Right.
Yep, and I don't think anyone's taking the word sassy and is like, I'm a little sassy.
Right.
No one's describing themselves.
Well, exactly. No one's ever self-described as sassy.
No.
No one. And if you do, get out of here.
Get out of here.
Out.
It's like, you're not to be trusted. If you describe yourself as sassy, you're going to steal my identity. I don't believe it.
Yeah, and imagine telling a straight man, you're sassy.
So, yeah, play it
they
sassy.
Wouldn't take it well either. They'd be like, what? I'm
but
sassy?
The reason they wouldn't take it well is because of all the weight that it carries with, like, mostly, like, the way it's been hurdled at black women way it's been hurdled at
gay
people.
Right, right. Like, I just think, the reason we don't like it is the same reason you wouldn't like it.
It was the name of a teen magazine in the 90s. That tells you who sassy is for. Oh.
Literally sassy, I only want to hear it in one way, and it's as the cat that Sally Field plays in Homeward Bound. Her name is Sassy, and I think it's fine.
Right.
I was going to say the name of a horse.
And Roy Moore's horse.
Exactly.
Wait,
only
what?
Horse.
Yes.
Only a horse.
He has a horse named Sassy?
Oh, yeah, he rode to the polls on his horse named Sassy.
No, that's too much.
You had to follow the whole cycle, honey.
I did not know he had a horse named Sassy.
Oh, yeah. And everyone's,
that's too much.
Everyone's tweets that night were like, we hope Sassy is... you know, survives or is free.
Sassy already got her an account. Sassy got more followers than all of us combined. You know.
Sassy's doing well.
Sassy's okay.
I hope Sassy's doing well.
Sassy's doing great.
Is the horse... This is maybe going to offend some sensitive viewers of Las Culturistas.
Viewers.
I mean, listeners. I always do that. I always... Because podcasts are...
A visual medium.
Is it true the thing of horses getting made to glue?
Yeah, I mean...
What is it? The hooves?
It's like the cartilage. Will, what is it? Tell us.
Can
educate
you tell
us. It's the hooves.
And it's not just horses. It's mostly like beef and sheep and other animals that are raised for meat. They process every part of the animal. They use the hooves to produce gelatin.
That's horrible.
And like the Elmer's glue cow is like literally because it's like it's
no.
made of cows.
What?
Right?
I don't know about the history of that marketing material. But gelatin is...
It's gelatin.
Well, and can
it's
we
gelatin.
Also talk, why is gelatin in marshmallows?
Oh.
As a thickening agent, I would say?
Of course I get the purpose, but I think that we have so much technology and so many advances that you going to take a little tree on top of my cocoa and put animal bones in it. Gotta be an easier way.
I don't think so, honey.
I don't think so, honey.
I don't think so, honey. Marshmallows that have...
Gelatin. You know what? This is a perfect segue into I Don't Think So, Honey.
Wow. This has flown by.
This has flown by. I could keep doing this for hours.
But and here's the thing. Here's the real gag is that we have never heard an I Don't Think So, Honey from Naomi. I feel that this was what you were made to do, and we've had 3 live shows now. Now, are you in New York now for the foreseeable future?
No.
At least tomorrow. I go to LA tomorrow.
To do your show on the 13th at 7 p.m. at Nerd Melt, Couples Therapy.
But this is historic. This is Naomi's first documentary.
I'm nervous because it's kind of like, I don't think so, honey, about most things.
Right.
And so it's almost like, what is the thing?
Oh, you have your pick.
I feel like it's going to be divisive, but I think every good I don't think so, honey, should be.
Absolutely.
Should be divisive.
The ones that get people talking, the ones that people remember, are the divisive ones.
No, yeah. I will say this. We've been fielding a lot of requests lately to come to California and do an I Don't Think So, Honey live show.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if we're ready to announce anything yet, but I think we are ready to tease that maybe we will be coming to California this summer.
Okay.
And that's all we're going to say about that.
Yes.
We would love to come out sooner. But maybe Northern California can look forward to us being out there.
Oh, she's getting more specific.
Maybe come June, July.
Okay.
Okay, Northern California. That's for you, my people locked up in Alcatraz.
A dog whistle that's a scream. That's just...
I'm just saying I love a good tease.
I love a good tease. It's just like I love how you always hear it here first. You know what I'm saying? I love that it's like it's a whisper campaign.
It's
you
a
don't
whisper
hear
campaign.
It in the trades. We beat the trades
you
to
beat
us.
we break things here like you wouldn't believe.
Now I actually want to break from tradition and have Bowen go first.
This
if that's okay.
Not tradition. I feel like this is pretty common.
I feel like regularly go first. Okay. I feel I regularly go first.
Well, okay. I have a specific one, and I'm just gonna lean. Wonderful. I'm just gonna lean into it.
All right. So this is Bowen Yang's "I Don't Think So, Honey," and his time will begin now.
"I Don't Think So, Honey." The highways leading from New York City to New Rochelle, bitch. I had to travail the perilous highways, and there were three close calls this morning.
Oh my gosh.
Honey, I had a 5 a.m. call. Bitch, I was on set, and I get to say this.
Work.
Because I was putting myself out there for the art, to contribute to entertainment.
Yes.
And I was doing the noble thing of going to set early in the morning and being driven by a van that met me in Union Square at 5 in the morning.
Oh, shit.
And the driver, God bless him, Michael, he was great, and he was also a PA on set. He drove the best he could, but the roads were icy and the highways, the signage is trash, 15. Honey. So New Rochelle, get your municipal board or whatever the fuck to fix this, because this is unacceptable.
Seconds.
Lives are at stake. I don't think so, honey. The highway's leading to New Rochelle.
That's 1 minute.
You know what? I committed to it. It's specific.
No, it was wonderful.
I love it.
And now we get a glimpse into your life as an actor who wakes up early.
You know what?
Call times,
and that's part of my life in 2018 is call times.
I love it. I love it. Make it manifest.
But residents of New Rochelle, it's a lovely township.
Township is a town.
Not only ship. Lovely hamletship. Mm. But I want real change to be affected.
Yeah.
Oprah's inspiring me. I might not have the same power or the same audience, but the same reach. But I can make a change.
Okay, I'm sure. Okay, if you're the comptroller of New Rochelle and
yes.
you're listening right
yes.
now, I need you to contact Bowen.
Sheila,
I don't think so, honey, the comptroller.
I bet her name is Sheila. I bet she's powerful, but she's not doing enough. Okay.
I hope it's a woman named Daniel.
Daniel.
Oh my God. I have. Wait, did I just fucking forget it? No, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't. I have it.
So this will be.
Because I was rotating between three. I'll tell you the other two I was going to do. I was going to do I Don't Think So, Honey, Dark Shadows, Dark Whatever. Who knows?
Which would have been great because you would have gotten the title wrong.
I was going to say, I Don't Think So, Honey, you have to wake up so early in the morning to watch the Oscar nominations.
Yes.
But for us, it's 8:30.
Okay. And so I've settled on a third one, and I'm ready.
Okay, so this is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey, and his time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, when there's a major nomination announcement, and it's so hard to find the fucking full list, honey. Why is it so fucking hard to find the PDF with all the nominations, bitch? How come when I was voting today for SAG, I had to search, I had to... proverbially wade through the waters to find out who was actually nominated for these movies. I went to the SAG website, honey, ScreenActorsGuild.com. Mm-hmm. That is not what it is, but it probably is. I went there and I literally
30 seconds.
Had to wade through. I couldn't find it. It's so hard. You can't Google search SAG nominations because then you get everyone's fucking take.
Oh.
You can't ever.
No.
I don't want to hear fucking Laurie Metcalf's reacts to her fucking Austin Film Critics Award. I want to know who's nominated. Also, I Don't Think So, Honey, when the Screen Actors Guild nominations come out and they don't nominate the whole cast. Get out.
Yes,
Betty Gabriel does not benefit from them winning if they win. And meanwhile, that is the definition of an ensemble moment. I Don't Think So, Honey. Screen Actors Guild nominations, why are you so hard to find? Why are you so weird?
And that's 1 minute and 6 seconds.
Wade in the water. Wade in the water.
Well, listen, it's that my I Don't Think So, Honey was one thing, but I am shocked and dismayed to find out that you don't benefit from a cast being nominated at the Screen Actors Guild for the ensemble unless you are on your own title card.
Yes, if you share a title card with someone else,
therefore,
you are not qualified.
In the cast of Get Out, Lil Rel does not get a nomination.
And he is the...
And he's a huge part of the movie.
The comic relief.
He's the definition of a supporting actor.
Yes. And Betty Gabriel does not get a nomination. If they win, they don't win.
Betty
Meanwhile,
deserved
that's...
all the nominations.
Oh, my God.
Her moment in that movie, the
no,
that's what I mean by an
exactly.
ask. So... of an actor.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, that is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, to have in the script... silently she breaks down but says and keeps her tone of voice in one way. That's like
yeah,
fucking crazy. And the fact that I go to the Screen Actors Guild and they get a nomination and this is the awards body that literally fucking Orange the New Black wins. Orange is the New Black wins. Hundreds of people are on stage. But Get Out, you're not even nominating people who are major turning points in the script.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's bizarre. It's a stupid rule.
You're right. I want to say, Mike was watching Get Out. My roommate was watching Get Out last night, too. And the part where Betty is in the car with him. And wakes up and... I didn't realize, but the thing she says is, "You ruined my house."
Yeah,
not like you killed my family. Yeah. So my roommate was like, "Oh, like the grandma is such a shitty person. Like she doesn't care about her family.
The house is ruined.
The house is ruined
because you know that she's been like, I've had to front as the housekeeper. And,
yes.
Oh, for weeks
she's been keeping it house.
She's been keeping the house.
Like, listen, he wasn't not out there chopping the wood.
Yeah, exactly.
He was still doing the work.
Yeah.
You're right. But they had the bodies.
Disturbing. Listen, I have the body to do menial tasks. Doesn't mean I want to do menial tasks.
There you go. You're right.
It's a hole in the script.
Jordan,
I have qualms. I have more qualms than I thought.
Okay,
I'm happy I said that. That's a real "I don't think so, honey" of my life.
And you wanted the PDF, honey. Okay, great.
I don't know. I was preparing emotionally, and then last week we were supposed to meet during the bomb cyclone.
Yes, this is a rescheduled appointment.
And so now I'm like, I don't even know what I have today.
Naomi, we can give you all the time you need if you want us to stall a little bit. But I think you won't disappoint.
What would you do if you had to stall right now? What would you say?
I would say that,
bless your heart,
there is not someone in whom I believe in more than Naomi.
How you'd stall? So I feel like I was in essence giving her a moment to think, and you've added pressure. You've now taken focus by saying you put her on this pedestal.
And I've put her on this pedestal. I'm putting pressure on her.
I think so, honey. I don't think so, honey.
Okay, oh my God.
Here we go. This is Naomi Paragons. I don't think so, honey. Her time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. There being one black woman who's supposed to do everything, honey.
Oh,
okay. We done decided Oprah's a goddamn mogul. She keeping Stedman happy. She keeping Gail paid. And you want her to be president. I don't think so, honey. Let her sit down, honey. Okay? We have to stop making it be like, if you are a black woman, you got to get to be 125%, and then you got to be everything for everybody. I don't think so, honey. Oh. To people who are now saying Oprah Beyonce 2020, I don't think so, honey. Okay, you could cut a record and be angry at your man for cheating. That don't mean you can deal with some foreign policy. I don't think so, honey. Deciding that if you have excellence in one arena, you get excellence in all the arenas.
Yes.
I don't think so, honey, to not letting more people at the table.
Yes,
honey. Last 3 seconds, I'm going to say, I don't think so, honey, to y'all losing y'all damn minds over Oprah wearing glasses.
And that's 1 minute.
Hasn't she always worn glasses?
Intermittently.
She goes on journey. Yeah, she goes back and forth. She goes back and forth.
Journey.
Yeah.
All right.
That was one for the books because it was
true.
It talked about what was happening in the culture.
Absolutely.
But also just expanded broadly beyond that about the way people think, because it's always yet another day in America and a black woman does all the work.
Will say this though, it was crazy that the two speeches people have lost their minds about were Michelle Obama and then Oprah. And I was just like,
within like 2 years of each other.
Yeah. And just the expectation that was foisted upon them.
Well, exactly.
After merely giving a speech and doing well, which you want to do.
Right.
Like, the goal wasn't to go out there and like perform at a six.
And like throw the speech and be like, I don't want them to want me to run.
The thing is, I don't want them to want me to be president, so I'm going to throw this one. Yeah.
Well, because you would think, it's like, okay, I have a degree.
Yeah.
I've been on television for over 20 years.
Yeah. You know what? I know what's up.
I know how to speak and use words.
Yeah.
And yet she put them all together, had a couple of good hand motions, and you said, run this world.
Yes.
Let the woman rest, honey. I want to, at the end of that, don't make her president. Let her take off her spanks.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Let her take off her spanks.
She looked snatched.
She looked amazing.
The thing that sucks is now it's like immediately, because of the culture that we're in right now, it's like the backlash has started against Oprah. It's like, she didn't do any
fucking thing.
Like, the fact that, like, sometimes that's what makes me worry about, like, next election. It's like, we're over here, like, arguing, like, she should be president. She shouldn't be president. You shouldn't think that about her. It becomes such a fight. And then meanwhile, like, the Nazis are storming the streets.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know what I mean? It's like,
what do you get out of calling? Like, I got some people were posting this thing of like, this headline of like, Oprah is actually a neoliberal capitalist machine. Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay, like, cool.
It puts a target on her back in a way that I hate. Exactly. Like, now you know you have Trump, like, saying something.
Yeah. You're like, giving them the
he
thing.
Hasn't tweeted about, oh, and I think that says something to her power.
Well, he actually has tweeted in the past that he adores Oprah. And in fact, one time he even said he would consider her as a running
mate. In the 90s when he was still, like, right. being, like, jokingly, like, right. I'm going to be president one day.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I think he actually maybe hasn't said anything because there is some actual fear there. And I say that not to stoke the flames of everyone who really wants her to run for president, because I think it's not. We have to also think about what she wants, people.
She's a person. She's living a life.
Don't
okay?
saddle her with this responsibility.
This woman, have you seen the friggin' taco party she has?
Yeah, really.
That's a full-time job right there.
It's like, let's get another Legends Ball together. Let's put that on the top of the list.
The amount of vegetables she picks in one go
she
is
don't pick
just...
those.
But she has to hold them up to the cameras, honey, and that is a feat. That's a physical feat. Oh, my God. Okay, well, that was beautiful.
Yeah,
that was gorgeous.
That was amazing. Guys. I mean, we hit on the culture.
We hit on the culture. And this is,
topical culture.
This was one of the most topical episodes, one of the best episodes with one of the best guests.
And wow. That's what you get when you have a cable queen.
Cable queen.
Cable queens, baby.
And you remain a cable queen to this day.
Naturally.
Yes.
But naturally. She writes for network, so.
Right. But the thing is, I was deciding, I just got Verizon Fios.
Oh.
And I was deciding whether I was going to get cable, like big time cable.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to get it.
You got to have it.
It's
your job.
I'm young. I'm interested.
You have to be part of culture.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You have to be part of culture. I need Bravo.
Naturally.
Do you watch Housewives?
You know I don't do Housewives.
Neither did
I
until last week.
Oh, no.
Are you now I'm in.
And now you're in deep? It's too much.
I listened to Erica Jane on the way here. I listened to her music.
What is that, New York? Or
it's Beverly Hills.
Oh, Beverly Hills. Okay, the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
I watch New York and Beverly Hills. Those are the two I think you need.
I mean, Money Can't Buy You Class is one of the greatest songs of our time. So, like, that I know.
Unfortunately, it will be sometime before new music from the Countess.
I know. She's going through some mess.
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
I'm full circle. Aware.
There we go.
Listen, just one more time. Check out the Comedy Central Half Hour.
Oh, it's so
Stream
good.
Stream
it's
great
really
news.
One of the best.
And especially episode 12.
Yes.
Season 2.
The co-writer. 12.
Coming out in 2 weeks, baby.
Come on.
And Los Angeles, Queens. You gotta check out Couples Therapy. It's this Saturday, the 13th at 7 p.m. in Los Angeles, baby, at Nerd Melt. Where is Nerd Melt?
It's on Sunset Boulevard, West Hollywood.
Oh, it's on Sunset Boulevard. Co-hosted by Andy. Yes.
Co-hosted by Jubu.
Oh. Come on.
Naomi.
You guys.
Now, here's the deal.
Tell it.
We don't just leave.
Oh, God. Good.
We sing.
Wade in the water.
Ow!
Wade in the water, children. Wade
in the water.
Bye.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.